Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, our weekly true crime spin-off podcast. I'm Paul, that's John, and Dad, this week a listener has sent us a very, very strange story, which I'd like to run by you up top, if that's okay.
You know I love strange stories.
Yes, I know you love strange stories. Well, several of you on the Facebook page have alerted me to this story. It was in the ABC News a couple of days ago. Where to start? Police have been left frustrated after an investigation into potential human remains in WA's Pilbara region revealed they were cow bones in a jumper.
Paul, funny, can I just say one thing at this juncture?
Yeah, please.
You said Pilbara.
Yeah, what is
it? It's Pilbara.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, you know what? It's important.
For people that live in the Pilbara.
Yeah, even though you're pedantic, I respect it. A walker found what initially appeared to be a dead person on the side of a track in Wickham last week and reported it to the police. Roeburn Police Senior Sergeant Dale Harmer, that was a mouthful, said the area was declared a crime scene while they studied the remains. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm looking at these photos. It looks horrifying. It does look like someone's been killed. Here's the problem. And this is from Dale Harmer. With the assistance of our local forensic officers and the forensic pathologist in Perth, we identified the remains there to be actually an animal. It's caused police to use an entire day and three police officers guarding a scene for something that was never human in the first place. Senior Sergeant Harmer said police attending the scene had thought the situation did not look right, and that's in quotation marks, but they still had to follow protocol. You can't just go into looking at something like that and lifting it up and digging around to see if it's human or animal. We need the right people up here to do that. They do have to err on the side of caution and get the right people in every time. Now, it basically looks like a murder scene, Dad.
Yep. Is it a cow?
Yeah, it's cow remains.
Paul, I already have a theory.
Yeah, go on.
You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
The cow...
Yeah.
Was being milked ferociously by a farmer.
Right.
And the cow thought, now's my chance. So the cow murdered the farmer.
Yeah.
Then dressed up in the farmer's clothes.
Uh-huh.
And got away. And then passed away naturally.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, the brother of the farmer was out for revenge and went after the cow.
No, I believe that the cow was actually, is the murderer.
In a revenge situation, let's say the cow is, you know, you got to kill the cow as part of your revenge. But then you've got a dead cow. Do you eat it? Or
take it to a butcher.
Yeah, but I'm saying what's the best revenge? To kill it and let it die on the side of the road in a hoodie or to actually eat the damn thing?
That's a very good question, Paul. Was it a milking cow? Because maybe it all goes back to the way the farmer handled the cow's teats.
Right, okay. So it's a personal beef.
Yep. Oh, hey! Good pun. Love it. It's nice to sort of be very jocular, isn't it?
It is, because you sent me a story that you wanted to talk about on this episode, and it is not jocular in the slightest, but it is crime-related. So would you like to run us through the story that you want to talk about this week?
Now, I understand, Paul, that it's a bit of a downer, the story. So what we've done, we've been clever.
Yeah.
We started off with your excellent cow story that sort of just spiraled into stupidity.
So stupid.
Which is good, though, because that sort of loosens everyone up. And then you said to me, look, Dad, because I sent you the details of this story that I just... We're not dwelling on the essence of the story. Maybe we are, but it's about punishment and retribution. Which I think is a very, very big societal dare I say, problem. It's a tough one. But then what we're going to do after this rather depressing story is that I'm going to tell you and the listeners a very uplifting story.
Okay.
About a Persian rug.
It's not another body, is it?
Isn't that great that you say that? Because I mentioned the rug to a few people at an auction house in Sydney yesterday, and that's exactly what they said to me.
Well, that's because last time you told the story, and please, listeners, feel free to go back and back and back and back into the archives of the show, but Dad found a rug, a Persian rug, across the road from his house.
Dragged it into the ute. It was incredibly heavy.
Yeah.
I was so excited because I thought, this is a find. This is a score. I'm going to make some moolah out of this rug.
Yeah.
And then I unraveled the rug
mm-hmm.
and discovered that on the balance of probabilities, something had died on the rug.
Okay.
Because there were sort of like, you know, crop circles.
Yeah.
I've never seen one, but I know I've seen photos of them. And this sort of had a crop circle on the rug. So it's possible that actually a small flying saucer... Sorry, Paul. Christ. Sorry.
Do me a favour and please pivot this quickly towards the actual story you wanted to talk about today.
Oh, but you mean the rug story?
No. Finish with the rug story.
Because we'll come back to the rug story.
It's a palate cleanser. Yeah.
We're coming back to that.
Okay.
Palate cleanser it's a beautiful analogy, Paul.
Thank you.
So on Christmas Day in 2020, a father named Christopher Brown, with an E, he was with his sister on a buggy. So he's an adult, he's a dad. He's got his sister, who's an adult next to him. She was she was strapped up. And what happens is you can't activate these buggies without, you know, clicking the driver's seatbelt. So then you create sort of a closed circuit, which enables you to then start the buggy. But what had happened, and I don't know whether this was premeditated, but the seatbelt was already done up, but no one was in it. So he just sat on the seatbelt, which overrode the electrical system, which means he could start it up. So effectively, he was driving without a seatbelt. Unfortunately, he had his two-year-old son on his knee, and they took off. It's Christmas. He was trying to impress his sister, who was sitting next to him, and he was doing a donut. And for people that don't know what a donut is, I don't know whether the term donut is used overseas. I mean, in some places, it may well refer to something that is round with a hole in it that people stick in their mouths. But a donut in sort of road driving parlance. Is it parlance or parlance?
It's just parlance, but parlance. Typically speaking, it's referred to like as a doughy. Isn't that basically where you do burnouts?
Yeah, kind of burnouts, but this is all sort of off-road. Okay. So you don't actually do the burnout. You do the sort of, you're basically
going in circles.
Going in circles. And, you know, due to centrifugal force, the young son, Lincoln, he was thrown out of the buggy. The buggy flipped over and landed on the young boy's neck, and he died at the scene, which is a fucking nightmare. So the dad, I mean, I'm looking at photos of the, I mean, I don't know the family. I don't know them, but I'm looking at the boy. I was looking at the boy earlier on just to sort of make myself feel even more, you know, I guess, sad in a way. It's a tragedy. But listeners and dear Paul, I guess the angle that I wanted to talk about is that the dad has suffered incredibly over the last few years. It went to court, and I've read a lot of information on this particular case. Now the prosecution, you've always got defence and prosecution. The prosecution, in this case, the Department of Public Prosecutions, they They wanted a custodial sentence. And I've sort of been going fairly deep into this story, and what's happened in the interim is that his wife is now pregnant again. And they're both obviously incredibly excited. The judge at the time, and it's fairly interesting that the judge described the father as a good person, a really good person, a very, very, very contrite, has done a lot of community service. Anyway, he avoided jail time. And based on all the information that I have been able to glean, I think, under the circumstances, that was a very, very wise decision by the judge.
Now, is that because you feel like he's been punished enough by himself?
Immeasurably punished.
Yeah, okay.
Imagine a Christmas day. Imagine you've got a two-year-old. There's a photograph of the dad and the son. It's a beautiful photo.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's not a... It's just a great... You know, the father is so remorseful, he's even built sort of as a homage to his son, a beautiful playground in the backyard dedicated to his son. It's depressing and sad and upsetting. And, okay, so that's the story so far. And then a few days ago, the Department of Public Prosecutions have... now said, and at the time, and I've read a lot about this, they actually, whilst they disagreed with the judge, they went along with it. But now they've lodged an appeal to say that in actual fact, we feel that he should go to jail for 3 years. And I think, based on the information I've got and the judge's opinion, is that I think that's not the right decision. I think it's not cool.
I mean, one question is, and I'm not taking a side here. If there's a baby on the way,
yeah,
it would hurt that child for the father to be away in prison for 3 years.
Paul, I utterly 100% agree with you. And let's look at the societal problems we have today.
Yeah,
our jails are full of people. Mm. A lot of the people have come from severely broken and dysfunctional families. And here is a situation where a loving family, the wife's pregnant, about to give birth to their second child, first child dead, and now they're saying, let's put the father away for 3 years.
Yeah.
Let's have the mother bring the kid up as a single mum. And based on... I feel very strongly about this, and I think it's something's just not right. And
serious question, though. Who is pursuing this case?
The Department of Public Prosecutions.
Okay,
the government. They believe that they've lodged an appeal, and now it has to go before three judges. Okay, so it's always three. It's always an odd number, so you can't get sort of a 2-2 ruling. So it has to be, you know, 3-1. No, not 3-1. 2-1. Well, yeah, it has to be. Or 3-0. But here's playing the devil's advocate, which is very important in our podcast, Paul. What the Department of Public Prosecutions have said, and this is a very, very interesting point, and I understand why they've said this, and it makes you really kind of go, wow, that's a very, very valid reason, and that is... that people that have done this in the past, that's the sentence they have received.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting? Which means, why should this guy get off? See?
So sure.
That's the quandary.
Why should an exception be made
correct.
In this case?
Okay. Yeah. So the exception being maybe, you know, look, he's suffering. His psychiatrist has been in court just saying... the only thing keeping him together, holding on, is the fact that they're about to have another baby.
Right.
The law is complicated. And in this particular case, Paul and listeners, I hope that in a few weeks or months' time, we can report back and say that the judges felt under the circumstances that this man has suffered enough. So that's kind of a it's a bit of a downer, but I think it's still in the balance, but an interesting story.
No, I completely agree. I'm very curious as to where listeners sit, because obviously, God, it's complicated. It's very complicated. I do often look at cases like this and go, it's literally, there is nothing you can do in prison or with punitive measures which will punish this person more than they are punishing themselves. And not just them. I mean, for the rest of his life, that's going to be like an anvil around his neck. I mean, correct. I don't know. I couldn't live with that kind of burden.
It's terrible.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, sure. And accidental deaths happen all the time, so I'm very curious as to how people cope in these circumstances, you know?
Having said that, the prosecution also said, and rightfully so, that the accident could have been avoided.
Ah, yes.
So there's valid culpability.
Yeah.
He overrode the system, whether that was intentional or not. The child was on his knee. Imagine, okay, here's a story. Imagine, mm-hmm. Let's flip this just slightly,
yeah,
and say that it's a big Christmas do and it's a friend's baby on his lap. What happens then?
Ah, yes.
We're talking, that takes it to the next level. And then, of course, we may well be talking and not feeling so bad about a jail term. Because you then have to appease. Because I think at the end of the day, it's a little bit kind of like the Old Testament, which I have a real problem with. And that is the eye for an eye, retribution.
We've talked a lot about the issues behind, you know, revenge as a thing. And the fact that it doesn't really, I don't know. I think
it's tough.
Bloodlust and revenge should be taken out of the equation whenever possible.
Well, thank God we don't have summary justice, where in some countries the police, they just go out like vigilantes.
It's basically Judge Dredd. It's where the police officers can carry out the entire legal process in a single moment.
Correct.
By, you know, sentencing and execution of sentence. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, you had, God, that's heavy. You had a much lighter story ready to go. So at this point, okay, so we've covered two crime stories, both fairly nuanced, but yes.
Yeah. So look, Christine and I live in what I would describe, and I don't want the listeners to get the wrong idea, but it's important to paint a picture. We live meters from King's Cross, and at the moment the cross is it's a shithole, and it's a pigsty, and it smells like it smells like a trough lolly.
Ew.
Yeah. You know what a trough lolly is?
I don't really want to know.
You know those things? They stick in men's urinals.
Oh, urinal cake.
Oh, that's it. Trough lolly.
I'm sorry. Has that ever been used as a term before? I got to look this up, because if you have just coined a fucking phrase.
I'm sick to death of you listening. Fucking why do you always Google when you doubt?
No, I'm saying I like
it. Okay, Google trough lolly.
Oh my God, it's totally a thing. It's Australian slang. It says here, Australian slang, the solid piece of perfume disinfectant in a men's urinal. Wow, that's a specifically Australian thing. I have never heard this phrase before. I'm so impressed. That's great. Paul, thank you for adding that to my lexicon. Anyway, please continue.
So, you know, that's where, I'm just demonstrating the juxtaposition between, you come out of the King's Cross Railway Station and it's basically just, it's the walk of Shitsville. It's on a one-way trip to God knows where. It's so bad up there at the moment. Fuck, it's shit. See, that's the thing. The extreme part of me would like to come by at 2 a.m, get the fire brigade to come through and use high-pressure hoses and just hose the whole street.
Sure.
And I'm telling you, get rid of fucking everything. It's a scheißen hole, as they would say in Berlin. But Paul, you know why I'm saying this? You probably don't.
Why?
Because why? Because I'm creating a sense of, you know, extremes. So, but all of a sudden you turn the corner near the El Alamein Fountain, and you and Tegan have stayed here, and you know what it's like. It becomes very, it's just beautiful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The neighbourhood is.
It's gorgeous. The second you get behind that street and go down towards Rush Cutters, it's incredible.
And Elizabeth Bay and on the harbour. Listeners, why am I telling you this?
Good question, Dave.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm about to answer it. It's a very, very affluent area. In fact, to highlight this story, we have sort of a Christmas, I say we, the local council has a Christmas do on this park that your mother runs around in the morning barefoot, and it's called the Reg Bartley Park.
Mm-hmm.
If my surname was Bartley, I'd get it changed. That's not a cool name. Reginald Bartley. But when they have these Christmas do's, people come down not with blankets, like most people. Guess what they bring down?
What?
Persian rugs.
Oh, okay.
I'm not kidding.
I gotcha.
No. People bring Persian rugs down. It becomes like a cake, but like a bake-off. This is a Persian rug-off.
So they bring down the bougiest Persian rugs instead of picnic blankets to try and outdo each other.
Outdo.
Right? Okay.
And they sit there, whatever. Okay. Listeners know that across the road, some time ago, we did a whole podcast on it. There was this incredible rug that turned out to be possibly somewhat nefarious in terms of what had happened to it. Okay, yesterday morning, I reversed the ute out of our driveway.
Uh-huh.
We're in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Metres from Sydney Harbour. You know what it's like here, Paul. It's stunning. I'm about to sort of reverse down, and I'm about to straighten up, and I'm heading to Manly, and I see out of my eye, possibly two eyes, I see a Persian rug on the footpath outside our bathroom window.
And you're thinking, sweet, I can sell this.
I just thought, this is just unbelievable.
It's like it's free money.
Free money. But I hadn't checked out the rug, to be fair.
Right, okay.
And then you know what I thought?
What?
I was in a bit of a hurry. I was meeting some friends over at Manly.
Uh-huh.
I thought, and because school holidays are ending, the traffic's absolutely ratchet.
Sure.
And I drove up to the point of, you know, the end of the street.
Mm-hmm.
There's a T intersection.
Yep.
And something was really niggling me.
So hang on. Leaving? Are you leaving?
I left it there.
Okay.
And I got to the top and then I did something crazy. I reversed all the way back down the cul-de-sac. And I went back into the driveway. I parked. And I calmed myself down. I went into one of those Zen states. And I got out. And it's kind of slightly shameful because there are people around. It's a thoroughfare down to the tennis courts and the park, the harbour. People are running because it's on an incline. People use that stretch to run up and down.
Yeah.
So there's a lot, and there's a bit of shame involved. Do you ever feel that sort of? Or you might not never sort of see things on the side of the road and think, that'd be good.
No. Well, I mean, one of my most prized possessions is an incredible.
The
impeccable vintage record player, like the whole. You know, the cabinet.
Yeah.
I mean, Tegan and I walked about five blocks with that between us, and there were utes driving past with blokes who'd seen it and gone back home to get their utes.
Yeah.
They did.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Look, A cautionary note to listeners, if you see something and it looks good, it may be good.
Okay.
It might be crap.
Okay.
So I reverse down, get out of the ute, do the walk of shame, go up to this. And I thought, I'm going to be a little bit more prudent this time, because the last time with that massive rug, it was rolled up and I manhandled it. So it weighed about, golly, let me think about this, maybe about 80 kilos. Manhandled it into the back of the ute, got it home, rolled it out, and then thought, shit, I have to get rid of this.
Yeah.
So what I did on the footpath, I rolled the rug out. Two things. An exceptional Persian rug.
Mm-hmm.
Antique. Mint condition.
Okay.
Flawless.
Yeah.
I can't believe what I'm seeing, what I'm holding. I'm fondling this rug in public, which is problematic. I then rolled it up.
Yeah.
Slung it over my shoulder.
Sure.
Went down to the ute, opened up the tonneau cover. And for those that don't know what a tonneau cover is overseas, it's sort of a canvassy type cover.
It's the canvas thing that you put on top of a flatbed to kind of cover it up. And then you put elastic straps over Correct. It to keep everything in place. Okay, so is it... Oh, we're so close.
Paul, yep. Listen.
Yep.
Listeners.
Yep.
It's in the back of the ute. I reversed and did the whole process for the second time. And I felt good.
Is it visible at all?
No, it's completely covered.
Completely covered.
100%.
All right.
And then... And... This is to the listeners that work at a particular auction house in Sydney. You'll be hearing this in the next day or so. This is exciting.
Hang on. Is this the equivalent of saying that you... I mean...
Don't jump the gun, Paul.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
No, but can you guess? Well, actually, I'll let you. Have a guess what happened.
No, because my concern here is that somebody has seen you put their Persian rug into
Paul,
your...
Paul, it was being thrown out. It was with other stuff from this apartment opposite. Where you used to live, you and Tegan stayed, that's the apartment.
No second thoughts, no like, oh wait, actually I didn't want to get rid of it. Okay, so well, then what happens next?
I carried on with my regular day.
Uh-huh.
And yesterday afternoon, for listeners listening tomorrow, that's 2 days ago, if that makes sense. But bearing in mind, listeners, this is not a day that the auction house receives items, okay? But I've got a very good relationship with pretty well every auction house in Sydney. And I walked in and I said, I have got a magnificent Persian rug. And they said, you are welcome to bring it in. So I, with assistance, carried the rug into this particular auction house. And... I actually have a photograph of the rug in situ at the front of the auction house in the area where they sell the best things. And it's coming up for sale next Tuesday. How unbelievable is that?
Wait, hang on. So there's no twist. You just got the rug.
Hang on, Paul. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, but there's got to be a... Where's the twist? Where's the body?
There's no body, Paul. It's a great story about, you know... How exciting my life is.
Hang on, Dad. No, I'm sorry, but you imply that there was some sort of mysterious quirk to this story.
Well, it's quirky in that it was a good find and...
Yeah, but you just found a rug and sold it. There's no... Where's
Paul,
the twist?
It's a very good rug.
Dad, no, but the problem is the last rug story you told, you set the bar very high because you implied strongly it was used to store a corpse. Mm. Now what's happened is you can say, can you guess what happened next? And I'm thinking all the incredible things that could have happened, and you're saying, I sold it. And
it it hasn't sold yet, to be fair.
Oh, so is that the twist?
Well, next week we'll announce what it got, but I think it's going to pull a decent price, and I think it's pretty exciting. So that's the story.
God damn it.
I thought it was a cracker. Now, speaking about antiques, Paul, Christine and I, very, very small teaser. Christine and I went somewhere about a week ago. We met some people. They told us some things. One of the things that we were told is something so scary and amazing. And you don't know what it is, Paul.
This is about next week's episode. So Dad and Mum went and met some people, and without giving anything away... Next week's episode of Loose Units on Tuesday morning is going to be a series of horrifying exclusives about is it fair to say a very prominent underworld figure in Australia?
Kind of, Paul, but that's not the scary part of the story. Okay, you don't know the scary part of the story.
Mm.
The part of the story that, and I'm going out on a limb, everyone. We have done, today is our 331st episode, which is just staggering. And Paul, I can say to you and the listeners that Loose Units next week are delivering a scoop. Something that no one in Australia, to my knowledge, and as a caveat to what I'm about to, or what we're about to do next week, listeners, I've actually been in touch with a few very senior New South Wales police officers, and none of them have heard what we're about to talk about next week, which is so exciting. It's actually mind-numbingly incredible, and we have permission to talk about it.
I'm so excited. I'm so nervous. It's been so long since we had a scoop of this magnitude.
Scoop McLean.
What?
Oh, it's just the name of a reporter. Don't worry, it's fictitious.
Oh, okay. Sorry. No, it's okay. I've made the switch to less coffee, and it's clearly damaging my ability to pick up on subtle cues. Well, look, I'm really excited about the episode. I hope the rug sells. I wish there'd been a twist, but that's okay. There isn't always one. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Loose Units, Loose Ends. On Tuesday, you are going to hear some stuff which is going to ruffle some feathers, so make sure you are listening, and make sure, if you haven't already done so, head across to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever, and make sure you subscribe, rate, review, give us some love. It always helps. In the meantime, have a brilliant weekend, everybody, and we will see you bright and early on Tuesday morning for a brand new episode of Loose Units. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.